Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Isn't this sexy?
The Village People rock.
Be a star. Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to be a star.
Yes, of course.
Especially for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, well, good morning and happy Saturday to everyone. In the room today, we got Steve Silva.
A little cold for you right there.
Oh, it is. Producer Zach.
Hey, hello.
Assistant Genesis.
Hello.
And I am sure host Sean Roberts. I almost said I am Sean,
sure,
your host.
Sure.
I am your Sean. I am your Sean, your host. Together, we are your Weekly Dose podcast. And as always, we're streaming to you live from Orange County, California.
And we want to thank you for joining us this morning. And of course, it's like a beautiful day out there, except it's only about 40 degrees.
Yeah, so wear a blanket, wear a sweater, wear everything you got.
Yeah, and we are still making the attempt, moving forward, to get Mark and Brian into the Radio Hall of Fame. So everybody keep track of that. It'll be coming up sometime soon.
We're actually very close, guys. I was talking to Switchboarder Laura the other day, actually last night, and she's doing something really cool right now, too, where if you want to send a picture of yourself, she has this new frame of Mark and Brian, a Mark and Brian frame. You can email her at mnbrhof@yahoo.com. Send her the picture, and then she'll put it in a frame, and then she's going to post it up on that Facebook page, basically, at mnbrhof. So it's really cool. So it gets getting people participated into that and so forth. So it's really, really neat. Now, if you'd like to talk to us, just say hi, join the conversation. We're going to be talking about the Oscars today, so if you want to talk about that with us, you're more than welcome to. Our phone numbers are 714-927-1866. Again, that's 714-927-1866. Or our second line is 323-963-8523. Again, 323-963-8523. And, of course, we got a big show for you guys today. We're talking all about the Oscars, which are happening tomorrow. Of course, right now we are listening to The Village People. With the disco flavors of In Hollywood, Everyone's a Star. Did you ever get into The Village People when they first came out in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually saw them in concert in Chicago.
Did you? You actually went to a Village People concert?
Well, they were playing. Chicago had its own form of Studio 54.
Uh-huh.
And
Studio 69?
I was out there on business in the late 70s, early 80s. And we just happened to go to that place to check it out and everything. And they were there playing. It was so much fun. The crowd was just electric.
They're just so happy to be there and everything. It was so wonderful. So good. So good. Yeah. Actually, I didn't know who they were or whatever. But, of course, when they came out, I mean, I was a young kid at the time. So I got into the music because it was fun. And then, of course, I found out later on why YMCA, what it all meant and everything. And, of course, everybody dances those to that song, you know, at weddings and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And so
it's
so much fun. And all in all, the handful of hits that they had, they're great songs.
In the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
You can let your mind
so, so good, so good. But anyway, so we'll be catching up with everybody today. And, of course, we had a tremendous loss the other day.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
We were surprised. I got stories about that. And so we got a tribute to the great Peter Tork of the Monkees.
Yeah.
Of course, we'll be doing Oscar Facts, Bloopers, Best Moments. And, of course, we'll also be doing a Tinseltown Spotlight for you guys, too, as well. And, of course, we got What's News and then the game at the very end.
And don't forget, you can interact with the show, commenting on our website, yourweeklydose.com. Find us at Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. Find us on Facebook or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
And not only can you download the show for free, but from our website, you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, Podbean.com, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Stitcher Radio. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show as well.
Yes.
No applause? You forgot the applause. Come on, what? Mr. Producer.
I want to be a producer.
What happened?
Coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
Hey, you're thinking too much of it anyway.
He probably shoved a couple of rocks of meth up his rectum. And
wow.
He's
wow.
Got his face covered with a mask that's been soaked in.
On the way up here, Steve and I were driving to listen about Chris Burrow, the KTLA anchorman that passed away.
Recently. Oh, yeah, Chris Burrow.
They said, and that's what Steve said, that he apparently shoved two rocks of meth up his rectum.
That's what it was?
And, like, he kind of went out like David Carradine, like asphyxiation with, you know, like a mask and wrapped around his neck or something. And
yeah, the mask was soaked in amyl nitrate.
Oh, that too, yeah. And
you're kidding.
No, man, this that's hardcore.
Wow.
And yeah, he apparently was on Grindr, had a sexual encounter. This was a whole thing. I told Steve, this sounds like a suicide to me. I mean, this doesn't sound like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it's what either somebody was show. Incredibly stupid,
but
or
he must have been already
they were trying
on
to get
drugs
out.
And thought that was a good idea. I don't think it was suicide.
But no, it sounds like it was major overdose is what it was.
Yeah, like he was already drugged up, and he's like, you know what? Sticking it up sounds amazing right now.
Yeah, I mean, a lot really of people sad. Will do that because it's a quicker absorption into the body's bloodstream.
Poor guy, poor family, his wife, his daughter.
And I loved watching him in the morning, like even because I would watch him before we went on the air here.
Yeah.
You know, on the weekends and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, oh my gosh, wow. Huh. Anyway, well, Chris Burrows. So.
Yeah, sadness everywhere.
Well, real quick though, we need to give a quick shout out to Amazon. You know what? Amazon's been with us for the last 2 years. We're very, very grateful for them. All you need to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on our Amazon banner and bookmark it. That way, anytime you want to shop on Amazon, they give us a little bit of love, and it helps keep us on the air, which is really, really cool. So
yeah. And I was just thinking.
Yeah.
It's a month until spring.
Oh.
And that means spring cleaning. How many of you like to do spring cleaning?
Zero.
I do it I do it 2 to 3 times a year.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You can go onto Amazon and get a deep cleaning spring cleaning service for $125.
That's very good to do because of allergies and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, like I said, Amazon has everything. They have a whole series of different cleaning. You get a house cleaning, move in, move out cleaning, carpet cleaning, home cleaning. And window cleaning, tile and grout floor cleaning, hard floor cleaning.
There's
anything
there.
In your home that could be cleaned, you can go to Amazon and have them do it for you.
Yeah, and that's easy. So remember, all you have to do to do all your online shopping with Amazon, remember to use our Amazon banner to get the job done. Remember, when you use our Amazon banner, you help support the show. So Amazon, work hard, have fun, make history. And of course,
Amazon.
Also, we need to give another shout out to our other sponsor, VPR Studios. A lot of people want to learn musical instruments, whether it's guitar, bass, piano, or anything like that. I know some people got their kids an instrument for this past Christmas. Some people got it for themselves and everything. And all you need to do is have a good music instructor.
Now, if that's the case, you need to call VPR Studios. They have been around since 1997 and serve the city of Cypress and surrounding communities. Their instructor teaches the language of music to all ages, from beginners to moderate players. Even old guys like me that have always wanted to learn how to play the...
What's that?
What was it?
The organ. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, what's better than roses on your piano?
Tulips on your organ.
Tulips on your organ. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing like having a private instructor for a musical instrument. Besides, the enjoyment of music contributes to the development of imagination, creativity, positive self-concept, achievement, self-discipline, and positive social skills. You're just getting that right now? Wow.
I'm loving it, Steve.
Oh, yeah. It's his Abbott Costello humor, you know.
That joke always cracks me up.
Obviously. There's something where a good instructor can really help you out. So if you'd like to learn to play the guitar, piano, or even bass, call VPR Studios at 562-310-2753. Again, that number is 562-310-2753. Or email them at VPR_studios@yahoo.com to schedule your first lesson. VPR Studios, magical moments start with music, so start creating your own magic.
Could that be a bass guitar?
It could be.
That's what I was saving the boss
like,
for.
You know, like a, yeah. That'd be kind of cool, make a guitar shaped like a bass.
Hey, there you go.
Unique.
Yeah, play the bass like a bass.
It's a bass bass.
Bass bass, yeah. Well, let's catch up with everybody. Well, since she was actually out last week, we haven't talked to her for 2 weeks. Genesis.
What's been new?
What's been up, girl?
What's new, pussycat? Oh. Nothing. I was out of town last week, weekend, because I went to go visit my brother. I went to Monterey Bay.
Ooh. Oh, love it up there.
That's pretty.
So I know. It's so nice. It's just, we didn't really even do a lot because of the weather, but it's just so nice to like breathe that air as opposed to this air.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice. And that was fun. And then this week I was just busy catching up with work and my other job and everything else in between. So
cool. But it was a good trip though. Fun trip.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. It was, yeah, we just
nice
hung out. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Zach, how about you, bud?
My mom and her boyfriend, my mom's boyfriend and I, we installed a new doorbell in my mom's house, and that was a nightmare. I learned how to install, you know, those Ring video doorbells.
Yeah.
You mean the Ring?
Yeah. Those things are actually really cool.
We've got one at our house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Those things are really, really cool. But it took me and my mom's boyfriend, John, who's, you know, he was here on the 100th episode. And we're trying to figure out how to set this up, and my mom wants it a certain way. So she wanted it not where her original doorbell was, but she wants it on the frame of the door. So we're like, okay, because we were like, do we have to shut off the breakers for the old one? It turns out it's just a battery one.
Yeah.
So we finally got the right tool because we think, oh, we could just screw it in. It's not that big a deal. Wooden frame, you need more than just a screwdriver to put the screws in. So we had to go to Home Depot and get like one of those really good drills. And then when we finally get everything,
the bad
we
ones
need,
really suck.
Yeah, that's right. So,
yeah, wouldn't that be a vacuum cleaner?
No, I had a drill that's not as heavy duty for this sort of project, is what I meant.
Oh, okay.
So I had to get a better one. And so when we finally got everything together, we start drilling the screws in, and it turns out there's something inside of the behind, like in the middle of the wood. It broke like two of the screws as we did it.
Probably more wood.
It was, yeah, some sort of more dense wood. Yeah, he's laughing at me. But rest assured, after
I just love the way you describe
things.
You mean
you didn't drill a pilot hole?
No, we did end up doing that. But what I'm saying is that
after
when
you broke the screws or before?
Before we broke the screws.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is that
we just want details because we know how you are.
This is why it took 2 hours, by the way.
Wow.
Because so many trials and errors. But
you got it fixed, though.
Yeah, we got it fixed. It was just like nothing's ever been screwed into that before.
Okay,
so
I'm going to go to Steve, but I need you to look up something real quick for me, though. Go to YouTube and look up, it's a kid calling father on the Ring. It's something that popped up just recently. So, and it's this kid who calls his father using the Ring doorbell.
First one?
Yeah. But, we'll go ahead and play it. This is cool. Have you seen this, Genesis?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. This is so good.
Dad? Dad?
Baby Gracie?
Dad!
How you doing?
I love you.
I love you. Oh, there's a big kiss. How's it going, man?
How do you turn on the kid channel?
How do you turn on the kid channel?
Yeah, how house? Do you turn on?
How do you turn on the kid channel in the house?
Yeah, I'm over here by myself because Mom led in me.
Where's your mom at? You're not supposed to be home alone.
She's at Courtney's with Alex, and I wanted to go home, and she said I could come here and turn on a kid channel.
Okay, yeah, well, you just got to press the power button on the side of the TV. You know how to do that, right?
Yeah, but I don't know what channel to get on to get kid channel on.
Oh, man, I think the kid channel is channel maybe like 25.
I don't know what 25 looks like.
Get the remote.
It's like, Dad, are you in there?
Yeah, exactly.
He's putting his eyeball up against it, looking in
the lens.
Oh, there's the mouth. Oh, God. He left a smear on the...
He's kissing the lens to give his dad a kiss.
Put him up for the TV and then press the number 2 and the number 5 when you point it at the TV. That should work for you. He was on a chair.
Okay, bye-bye. I'll give you one more kiss.
Okay, one more kiss. Okay. Thank you, buddy. I love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
And I love the fact that you can hear the people at his office also laughing.
Yeah. So
all right,
funny.
So if you guys haven't seen it, it is hysterical. It is this kid who needs to turn on the TV, and Mom's, you know, across the street.
Yeah.
Well, who are you going to call?
Dad on the ring.
Call Dad on your ring doorbell, and that's what it is. And it is hysterical. It is so cute. So if you guys haven't had a chance to see that, find that on YouTube, and we'll throw a link on our website also for that. It is so good.
So that's what I did, which is even funnier, too, because, like, the testing of that doorbell was so much fun. Like I think yesterday, because I had it set up on my phone so I can see the alerts as well.
Right.
So my mom got a pizza delivered, and I'm like, why am I getting alerts on this? And I forgot that I set it up, and I'm like, oh, they just got a pizza delivered. I'm like, God, this thing is so cool. Mm-hmm. I love those.
That's awesome.
It's neat. Steve, how was your week, buddy?
Well, to continue the saga of falling down drunk Steve.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Genesis, you
as
missed
you
that.
Know, did you listen to the show last week or no?
No, I actually didn't.
Oh, God. Okay.
I'm already laughing.
I miss being drunk, though, so I'm jealous.
Well, we got to get together.
We had fun.
And go out and get wasted.
We should. But, you know, it's been 20 years since I did that. But anyway.
Falling down drunk, yeah.
Not the drunk part. Everybody that saw my wrist and hand last week were like, oh, you've got to get that.
Dude, let me see, it was like twice the size. Now it's back down to normal.
Well, now we got that color,
it's still
too.
It's swollen here, but, you know.
Okay, it looks better.
But the important thing is, can you whack off?
Yes.
Okay, then you're fine.
Oh,
yes,
good.
I know. Sorry. That was my big concern.
Because you can't do it with the other hand.
Well, no.
I do it with the other hand,
but this hand has to get to the nipples.
Oh, gotcha.
So, at first, it was kind of really difficult. But when this happened, as I told everybody, I was between doctors. Mm-hmm. Now, as we all know, I'm retired, and I have Social Security and Medicare. Mm-hmm. And I also have a Health Net Advantage supplement. Well, a week and a half ago, it was like a week before Valentine's Day, I got a call saying that my doctor was no longer a doctor for some reason.
Did they quit or something? Or what?
I don't know. It was a message because I don't really answer the phone. Uh-huh. And I'm like, well, okay, this will be a good time for me to get my doctor switched because, you know, this would be a great decision. I've been trying to do that. So that's what I did this week. I talked to HealthNet, and the girl, Nicole, who was a sweetheart, she was so kind and upbeat. It's like, am I really talking to somebody at a business?
Wow,
was just,
that's cool.
She was so cool, and she helped me out and got my whole thing. I had to switch medical groups. I don't know if anybody understands that, but when you get...
Yeah, from like Blue Cross to Blue Shield or something.
It's
or whatever,
like that.
Kaiser to somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, she was able to do that, and I got it done. Now, the bad news about that is it doesn't take effect until March 1st, which is another week or so.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I've been icing my wrists 3 times a day, every day.
Good.
And the swelling went down. I went and I was actually at Mike's house.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat on the couch watching movies and feeding the dog and then icing my wrist. That's all I did for like almost a week.
Good. I'm glad that you at least did that, though.
But. Yeah, I wasn't out doing anything. Or
but now
whatever.
You have a nice, lovely bruise on your forearm.
I know. I should take a picture of that. That's pretty.
Let's tweet that out.
It's like all yellow all up in here.
Have Genesis take a picture of him. We'll tweet
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Seriously, though, you're very lucky cool, you didn't man. Break anything.
Yeah,
well,
no,
see,
absolutely.
That's the thing. Everybody knows that when a drunk gets in an accident, depending on the severity of the accident, but they...
And the drunk.
They don't really get hurt because they're just like half passed out and relaxed, and their body can get slammed up against the wall, and it just kind of goes blah, and then... I think that's what happened with my wrist. It was pretty bad. There still might be a little problem now, but when I get to the doctor, we'll have.
But you can get your nipples.
We'll have X-rays.
You can get your nipples no problem now, and you're fine.
I get what?
You can get your nipples with no problem now, and you're fine. Your nipples. You can get.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Both sides. That, no problem. No
yeah.
problem. Yeah.
So you're okay. So.
I'm okay.
So at least we know the shoulder is fine.
Now the funny thing is,
besides all of it,
that. My hand and arm hurt so badly after the fall and for, you know, a week. I'm starting now, as it's calmed down, to feel other places. I tweaked my back. I tweaked both of my knees.
Well, dude, you fell 12
elbows.
Times. Come on.
I know. It's like I keep feeling all that.
Four times at the bar, three times out of the
why
car.
Why does that feel?
You know, so, and then
a partridge and a pear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, but hey, I'm in good spirits.
That's all I care.
And I have my health. And if you don't have your health,
well,
you have nothing. Yeah. Yes, I watched Princess Bride right. while I was at Mike's good. House.
But with Steve, we always have something.
always.
So far, so good.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, last week I got to spend the day. It was a wonderful day. Of course, I was very concerned about you because, I mean, dude, your wrist and your hand was swelled up.
I will admit it looked really horrible.
It was double the size. Yeah. Know? So, but as soon as we got off the air and everything, I had to pack up the car right away, headed up to Hollywood at the Pig and Whistle right there on Hollywood Boulevard. And I got to spend the day with the new Monkees.
Wow.
So if you guys aren't too familiar with who these guys are, it's like, well, what are you talking about? New Monkees. Well, just a quick note, back in 1986, the producers of the original show, The Monkees from 1966, when The Monkees were doing their 20th anniversary, it blew up huge. The producers of the original show decided to do it all over again, audition new people, and bada bing, bada bang, bada boom, you got four new guys, and they called them The New Monkees. The show was a major flop. It only lasted 12 shows. A lot of backlash on them, but these guys are very talented guys, and I've got to be friends with all of them. Marty Ross, Larry Saltis, Jarrett Chandler, and Dino Covis. And they were performing, and they've gotten together. We've had these little get-togethers for the followers of the New Monkees, but this was the first time it was publicized that they're performing. 32 years later, it's their first public performance, in Ooh. Essence, that's advertised. Marty calls me up a month ago, asked me if I could do sound for them. And I was
honored
to do that. So I got to spend the day with them. We did sound check. The guys sounded amazing. 8 o'clock rolls around. We do the show, an amazing show. And what was also in tandem with this whole thing, Jody Ritson, who is a gal who works for Mickey Dolenz and Michael Nesmith. She is their agent for all their meet and greets. She's in charge of them at the shows that both Michael and Mickey do. She put this whole thing together also for the New Monkees. And Mickey Dolenz was there. Got to perform with the New Monkees. He did about 3 or 4 songs with the guys. You know, so it's now finally the two camps coming into one camp.
That's so cool.
Which is great, wonderful. And it was so funny. I was texting Dino yesterday morning going into work, and I'm going, yeah, halfway through of them doing Last Train to Clarksville, I'm sitting at the board going, oh my God, not only am I recording the New Monkees, but I'm recording Mickey Dolenz with the New Monkees, you know. So it was really cool, awesome. A wonderful event. I finally got to meet Mickey, so I can say now I've met all four monkeys, which is really, really nice. And matter of fact, Mickey was taking pictures with people on Hollywood Boulevard at the Monkey's Star on the Walk of Fame. So cause it wasn't too far from where the Pig and Whistle is. It's like a 2-minute walk.
It was just a stone's throw from the Pig and Whistle.
It was. It literally was, yeah. And so so he's there. So
I don't know what that meant.
I don't know either, but hey, it worked, buddy. So so I got to finally meet Mickey Dolenz and everything, and he was so gracious, and he was so good to the guys. And, this was 32 years in the making for them to say, hey, we're all one family, you know, kind of a thing. And then lo and behold, Dino and I, we were talking about, gee, wouldn't it be nice to have all seven of the monkeys together? You know, the three remaining originals and then, you know, the four new monkeys. And he was saying, you know, it would be cool. He goes, we've already done it with Mickey. We've done it a couple of times. It'd be really great to do it with Mickey and Michael Nesmith, who we got to interview, of course, a month ago.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I said, you know, and then I said, it's just a matter of how well Peter feels to fly out from the East Coast. And he goes, oh, that would be great, you know, to have all of us together. And he made a comment about, well, we hope before anybody goes, you know, in the text as we're texting back and forth. And I come into work, and lo and behold, we find out Peter Tork, bassist and keyboardist of the Monkees, had passed away at 77 years old. Unfortunately, he passed away due to a rare cancer that attacks the tongue. He had a major surgery. He was diagnosed in 2009. They gave him a clean bill of health, and then the cancer came back. Mm. So it was hard. A lot of us, especially coming off of this high, of the show with Mickey and everything, and the show went so fucking well. I mean, it was phenomenal. And can we play a little clip of it? We've got a little bit of the guys performing, and this is them doing a song called Affection.
Marty wearing a kilt?
Yeah, Marty's wearing a kilt.
That's badass. Looks like Brian Johnson.
I love this part right here.
Raise your hand if you don't. I don't know if it's us, but I can't hear you singing it. When we go to the chorus, I'm not crazy. I'm just a little bored. Don't make it sound so convincing. Just be loud, but don't be bored. Here we go, second verse. This guy in school where we had a wife and a son. A house in the suburbs. You can do it. And a loaded shotgun.
All right, go ahead, Paul. So there you go, guys. And I got to do the sound for that. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful evening. Go on Facebook and do a search for New Monkees. There's going to be a bunch of videos and everything that people who were there posted in pictures and so forth. Such a wonderful event. You'll also see them performing with Mickey Dolenz, which, again, was just phenomenal. And we just had such a great, great time. You know, there was about 120 people there. Very close, tight quarter kind of a thing. So we had a lot of fun. But we lost Peter Tork, unfortunately. So we kind of threw together this montage of music of Peter Tork. And these are all the songs that he sang on Monkey Songs. Either he sang the lead or sang a verse, or he was co-leading with Mickey or Peter. I'm sorry, or Mike or whatever. So just sit back and listen to this. This is just really cool. And you can really see the talent of this man, because Mickey Dolenz has even said, out of all four of them, he is the one who was the true musician. He could play the bass, he could play the keyboards, he could play the guitar, he could play the trumpet, the French horn. You know, you put an instrument in his hand, he could play it, basically. And when they were recording their first legitimate record as the Monkees, which was Headquarters, Mike was an accomplished musician himself, but Mike would play it, and then Peter would do all the music notation for it, so they knew how to go back and play and everything. Mm-hmm. So, talented guy. Really, really talented. Let's go ahead and play that, please.
She knows her mind all right, your Auntie Griselda. She says she knows my kind, she might maybe so. Oh yeah, she's raised you right, your Auntie Griselda. You only know the things she wants you to know. I know she's having a fit, she doesn't like me a bit. No bird of grace ever lit on Auntie Griselda. If you think I want the life you choose to live, I don't think I want the love you got to give. If you think my goals could be so trivial and small, then I don't think you know me at all. I remember when the answers seemed so clear. We had never lived without or tasted fear.
It was easy then to tell truth from lies, selling out from compromise. Who to love and who to hate, the foolish from the wise. But today there is
So Patterson had a pig named Porky. This pig named Porky loved pie. He loved pizza pie, pumpkin pie, pineapple pie, pizza pie, mince tarts. And Peter Percival Patterson's pig Porky loved pie for breakfast, pie for lunch, pie in the afternoon, and pie before he went to bed. Peter Percival Patterson's pig Porky ate so much pie that, do you know what he did? He popped.
I guess we'll never know just love and lost and sorrows turned your heart to frost, I will melt your heart again. Remember the feeling as a child when you woke up and morning and smiled. It's time you felt like you did then. Come with me, I'll take you where the taste of life is green and every day holds wonders to be seen. Come with me, leave yesterday behind and take a giant step outside your mind. Lately my mind is drifting back to former days that used to be. I think about some folks I knew and of my MGBGT. People, let me tell you that if I had to make a recipe for fun and driving, I would have to spell it MGBGT. Cruising, choosing, using it, I'm using myself, not a care. Striving, thriving, hard ride, driving, not arriving anywhere. Folks, this little car, well, your love keeps lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before. Keep it up, which is my desire, and I'll be at your side forevermore. Because your love keeps on lifting, lifting me higher, 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 higher. Your love keeps on lifting, lifting me higher, 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 higher.
And there you go. Such great songs, though. I mean,
that's so cool.
And that's through his whole career, basically. You know, I mean, some of that was early Monkees. A couple of those songs were from the Monkees album called Pull It. Some of his solo stuff and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was proud to meet the man twice. The first time I got to meet him at Bogart's in Long Beach when Bogart's existed at the Marina Pacifica Mall.
Mm-hmm.
He played there one night, and this was like 91, 92. And I got to meet him there and got his autograph there, which is that 16 magazine. He signed that one for me. And then the second time, Karen and I went to go see him, believe it or not, at the American Legion Hall, either in Tustin or in Orange, with his blues band called Shoe Suede Blues. And it was just...
How cool.
It was just like a bar band being a bar band. And it just so happened Peter Tork is in the band. Kind of thing. He would just want to be one of the guys.
Yeah.
You know, so cool. So, and then last night, I'm going through some of this music to put this whole collage together, and I have his solo album, and it's one of the few that I have. And then I realized, oh my God, Peter signed it.
Oh, shit.
Oh my God. Let me see. Right there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I totally forgotten that Peter signed. This so not so now I got three autographs of Peter Tork.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Don't lose that.
Oh no! Really? I'm just like, ooh, This is now going to get framed.
Going to put on the wall.
Basically, yeah. This is going to get framed. So, such a big loss though. But there's a video that we want to play, and I thought when they came back in the 80s, you know, it was such a big uproar about them, and you know, it was success for them a second time around, which was great. Some of the 20th anniversary. So I guess Dick Clark Productions or Dick Clark asked them to come back, and this is them reading the rules of how the American Music Awards gets handled. And in all honesty, Peter steals the show on this at the very end. So let's go ahead and play that.
Dolans, Davy Jones, and Peter Cork, the Monkees.
Hey, wait a minute. I get very, very nervous when he takes over.
They want us to do the rules.
Yeah? Why us? Is that where you were when we were out looking for you, drawing short straws someplace?
No, they said we could be ourselves, but we must keep it very dignified.
Yeah, well, which one are we going to be?
I tell you what, courtroom shows are doing real well, and they're very dignified, yes. And so let's do a courtroom kind of a thing.
Okay, I'll be the prosecutor.
I'll be the judge.
Ah, I guess that leaves me the witness.
Yeah. Court, come to order.
Ah!
First witness, do you swear?
Yeah, when provoked, and often.
Did you see how this whole thing began?
Everyone can see.
Because the nominations are based on information compiled by Cashbox Magazine, one of the leading music entertainment trade publications for 44 years.
I object! You're leading the witness.
Your Honor, what happened? You're always objecting.
The independent survey firm of Herbert Altman Communications Incorporated sends the ballots to a representative sample of record buyers.
I object!
What now, Judge?
Why are they sending bullets to the record buyers?
Well, to show so that everyone has a shot at winning.
Okay, proceed.
Then the bullets.
Yes.
Are tabulated by the national accounting firm of Pete Warwick Mitchell, and the results are placed in sealed... What did I say?
Warwick.
And then they're placed in sealed envelopes.
I object!
Again, you know, Judge, you're very, very objectionable. Okay, carry on.
I object to them placing those poor little seals in the envelopes. They can't breathe.
I object.
No. Why?
I object to this whole routine. I object to both of you guys. I object to the lousy jokes.
Who writes this stuff?
Hey, are we up for an award?
No.
Are we giving an award away?
No.
Are we getting paid?
No.
Let's blow.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
You know, and what's funny is that, you know, he's in the TV show, you know, he always played, you know, the dummy, the innocent one or whatever. But, I mean, he was funny, though, you know. So for him to kind of do this, like, hey, we have an award? No. We give an award away? No. Let's blow. We getting paid? No.
I remember years ago seeing the audition tapes for the Monkees when they were actually auditioning and they filmed each one of them.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were like crazy. They're just outgoing, funny, crazy people.
Each one individually.
Yeah.
And that was the beauty about the show. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time in a long time where not only was the show, did they used the real names of the actors.
Right.
So you have to differentiate between,
Differentiate. Okay.
Between, let's say, Michael Nesmith, the actor or musician, versus Michael Nesmith, the character on the Monkees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a difference,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where I know Peter Tork got affected by that because everybody looked at him as the dummy because he played the dummy. He did it so well, you know, that people perceived him. Well, that's how he really is.
Oh, yeah.
In reality, no, the dude was intellectual. Come on, you know, and everything. So, but I mean, it was just really, really done well. And the same thing with the new Monkees, you know, it's like there's a difference between, let's say, Dino Kovas, you know, the new Monkey versus Dino Kovas, the guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I see the difference between them. But I've been with them long enough to know I can see why the producers chose Marty, Dino, Jared, and Larry as the new Monkees. These guys are equally as talented. And, you know, and finally, you know, Mickey is giving them not necessarily passing the torch, but kind of going, wow, I could see why both, you know, Bob Rafelson and Bert Schneider chose these guys as well. You know, because it's the same producers that chose me to play Mickey Dolenz, the character, on this mm-hmm. TV show. You know, and so it was just kind of nice to see that all of that together. But unfortunately, a big, big, big loss for all of us here. So
Definitely. Yeah.
Did you ever get into the Monkees, Genesis?
No, but I have heard of them, so it's not, yeah.
Have you had a chance to see them live or anything like that?
No.
Not
no,
really?
No.
But you know like a couple of their songs though, right?
Yeah, if I heard that, if I feel like if I heard the music, I would recognize it, but I wouldn't be able to pinpoint who it is.
Gotcha, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. All right, so anyway, so yeah, so sad, sad, sad loss. All right, well, let's move on here. I don't think we have any music for this, but let's use our the one that we use for Paul.
Okay.
Let's use that for this here. And we'll use that as our bed. So we got some Oscar facts here. Let's see here. The silent Oscar. I'm already going to that character voice already. Mm-hmm. The silent film The Artist is widely tipped to win the best picture going against this year's Oscars. But the only silent film previously to win an Oscar for Best Picture was Wings in 1929.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that was what, you were what, 12 at that time, Steve?
Maybe 14.
14, yeah, okay.
He was in his adolescence.
Yeah. Let's see here. The film with the most Oscar nominations, while The Artist may lead the film with 12 Academy Awards nods, but the most nominated movies of all time garnered a whopping 14 nominations. First up was a black and white film, All About Eve, in 1950. 50 years later, Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio doomed a love story, Titanic, and that sank the competition. So they've got the, they surpassed that.
Mm-hmm.
Which movie do you think was the first Technicolor Oscar winner, Steve?
Ooh, I know.
Technicolor?
Technicolor.
Singing in the Rain?
No. Zach?
Gone with the Wind.
Genesis?
Oh, I think that's it.
Casablanca?
That was black and white.
That was black and white.
Oh, I thought that's what it was.
No, Technicolor.
Oh,
AKA
Singing
color.
In the Rain?
No, that's what Steve said, but...
Oh.
No. Zach is correct.
Yeah.
Gone with the
Gone
Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
Oh. For 1940.
Yay.
Which person has won the most Oscars than anyone else?
Person?
Who?
What person?
This question
yeah,
keeps
person?
Coming
no,
up,
Kitty
and
Cat.
I always forget the answer.
We've worked for his company, Steve.
Yes.
Walt
Disney. I was going to say
Walt.
She.
Who?
Walter Elias Disney.
Yeah. Walt Disney.
Oh, no. I was going to say Meryl Streep's like one. Isn't Meryl Streep like one like the most Oscars for a female actress?
No.
Or female actress for an
no.
actress?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up then.
Okay. But Walt Disney has won more Oscars than anyone else. He was nominated for 64 awards and has
wow.
won 26. Composer John Williams is second most nominated person. With 47 Academy Award nominations and counting.
Yeah.
Because he's still around, so he's still doing the music. Top
Star
award.
Wars.
Well, yeah, he's got the new one coming
Star
up.
Star
yeah.
Wars.
Top award winners. Only three films have ever won all five of the most coveted Oscars in Best Film, Actor, Actress, Director, and Writing. Do you know what they are?
Only three films?
Only three films.
Titanic?
No.
Oh. Gone with the Wind?
No.
The one where the guy comes back from the army without an arm, the best years of our lives. Or?
No,
no.
You want to take a guess, Genesis?
I have nothing.
No, I have nothing either.
Okay.
I would have guessed
first one, is, Zach. You want to take a guess?
no, I got nothing either.
Godfather.
No.
Oh, that would have been a good choice.
It Happened One Night, 1935.
Okay.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, 1976.
Oh, that's right.
And the last one doing, Silence of the Lambs, 1992.
Really?
Yep.
Man,
that I would never have guessed.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Now, this is where, you know, our producer thought he was the expert on. The actor or actress with the most Oscars is Katharine Hepburn, who won four Best Actress Oscars during her career. Clint Eastwood is the male actor with the most Oscars, with a total of four trophies to his name, but he didn't win any for acting. He won two Oscars for Best Director and two Oscars for Best Picture, Unforgiven and Million Dollar Baby.
Mm-hmm. And boy, they were good, too.
Yeah. Who was the youngest person to win an Oscar?
Youngest?
Uh-huh. And it hasn't changed.
It's Shirley Temple.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Nope. Aww. Tatum O'Neill for Paper Moon.
Oh, God, everyone.
She was 10
that.
Years old.
Hmm. I thought Shirley Temple got a...
Nope.
Huh,
she might have gotten an honorary, but not for an actual
not
award.
Not actual.
Yeah. No. Who's the oldest person besides Steve?
Steve's won an Oscar?
Actor!
No. But he has been in a CAT Award winning film, though.
I did win a Best Actor Award in Huntington Beach for a play I was in.
In his own zip code.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
All right, who's the oldest person to win an Oscar?
Mel Blanc?
No. Jessica Tandy.
Jessica Tandy.
She was 81, and it was for Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This one I know you guys won't get, but Catherine Bigelow, I'm probably butchering that name.
Bigelow.
She became the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Director in 2010 for The Hurt Locker. And the funny thing is that she was up against her ex-husband, James Cameron, who was up for the same award for Avatar. So not only did she get a really good divorce settlement, she got the Oscar.
Which apparently we're getting like three more Avatar movies like back to back pretty soon.
I don't know what for.
Those
I don't know either.
Everything.
It was good, but it wasn't that great. I don't see
It was good. I mean, you had the whole moral thing and what have you, but you know.
To make it into a whole franchise.
And then for Universal now to try to do an Avatar Land after, 9 years after the films came out.
I know. They do it. They wait so long.
Yeah.
I think it's been 10.
Of course, that's how Disney works, is everything works really slowly. Yeah.
Okay. Cheapest Oscar. So, in other words, this is what movie grossed the least amount of money but still won an Oscar?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a hint. I just said it in the previous fact. The Hurt Locker.
I never saw that.
I did see that. That was actually really good. That was really good.
It was good. I recommend it.
It earned only $21 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, not an awful lot. Of course, the most expensive film that ever won an Oscar was Avatar. Of course, it didn't pick it up for Best Picture, but it did pick up an award for Art Direction, Cinematography, and Visual Effects, of course. Let's see here. An Oscar-winning family. Several famous couples have won Oscars, but only one Hollywood family can claim to be truly Oscar-winning, which is the Minnellis.
The Minnellis?
Liza Minnelli.
Oh,
daughter. Yeah.
Daughter of Judy Garland.
Of Vincent Minnelli, who won Best Director in 1959 for Gigi, and Julie Garland, who received a Miniature Juvenile Award in 1940. She won Best Actress for Cabaret in 1973.
Life is a cabaret, old
so,
chum.
So, mother, father,
mother,
and daughter,
father and daughter
have won an Academy
Award.
Yeah.
Keep it in the family.
There you go. How much do you think each Oscar costs?
$2.
No.
Each Oscar, $1,200.
Lower.
$1,000.
Half of that.
$500
it costs to make and weighs around.
And it is that what you said, weighs?
2.5 pounds.
No.
Pound and a half.
No.
5 pounds.
It's a beautiful bouncing baby. 8 pounds and a half.
8.5 pounds?
8.5 pounds.
Ooh, yeah. That's and something heavy. They got a little lead in the base of that thing?
Yeah, they do. It's
so it don't fall over.
It's, yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't want to break your Oscar.
Like your wrist.
Yeah.
It's a Chicago-based company called R.S. Owens. Starts manufacturing the Oscar statues 1 year in advance of the show. Let's see. When they roll up the red carpet on Oscar night, spare the thought if the organizer, specially made carpet, is a whopping 500 feet long and has to be rolled out, of course, in front of the Kodak Theater. So, yeah. So there you go. There's some Oscar facts for you.
Da, da, da. How about that? Well, now, am I doing Oscar's biggest bloopers or Oscar's best moments? Because on my page, it says Oscar's biggest moments.
Let me see which one you got.
Whatever it is.
I'm doing the bloopers.
Yeah, she's doing the bloopers. You got
okay,
the moments.
Okay, so I've got the best moments. Okay. Well, here we go. Now, I most of us probably seen a lot of these, and some of them are funny and some of them are sad. But to begin with, 2013, Miss Jennifer Lawrence wins the Oscar, gets up, walks over, and as she goes to go up on the steps to get up on the stage, she catches on her dress and goes face first down. Luckily, she caught herself with her hands on the stairs. And you could see her just kind of hesitate with her hands on the stairs going, Oh, my God, in front of everybody. Yeah. Yeah, but she was okay. Nothing happened. It was really cool.
But she wasn't drinking like you.
No. No. Of course, I wouldn't have remembered it. In 1988, Cher caused a big stir. Stir? Wow, I'm stir. Having trouble talking. Stir. A big stir when she wore a see-through
dress. Oh, that's
dress.
Right, that real crazy dress.
Yeah, it. She looked good, though.
She did, and she that was good. Also the same year that Sonny Bono was running for mayor of Palm Springs.
Yes, yeah, and he won.
And he, I remember
he was the mayor.
Seeing a documentary on that saying that if he loses and she wins the Oscar, yeah. And luckily they both won. So,
In 1989, now also in 88 when that happened, there was an Oscar moment which is not on the list. In 1987, there was a movie released. It was a live short action film that I was in. Called Ray's Male Heterosexual Dance Hall. Mm-hmm. It won the Oscar for Best Live Action Short. And RoboCop and Pee Wee Herman attended the Oscar.
Really?
Yeah. It was amazing. There was all kinds of stuff that happened. It was really cool. But the first movie I was ever actually in won an Academy Award. So there you go. Okay. In 1989... Excuse me, man.
You guys okay?
Rob,
no, I've got my nasal drip still going.
Yeah,
on.
It's this weather is horrible.
Sorry, we're coughing everywhere.
Okay, Rob Lowe opened the show in '89 with a duet with Snow White.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember it.
But
either.
I heard it was bad.
I've seen a picture of it, and it was apparently it was just really everybody was like, oh, what's he doing?
Yeah.
And then something happened in 2000 with Angelina Jolie and her brother, which I don't remember seeing, but she had an uncomfortably intimate moment with her brother.
She gave him like a big,
long... It was like
long,
a big smooch.
Yeah, it almost went...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, it's like...
And there was a whole thing in like the next... 4 months down the road, talking about incest and this and that between the two of them.
Of course, if you see her mouth and her lips and stuff... Once she pushes her lips onto somebody else's lips, it takes a while for the suction to release. So,
Jeepers.
Now, in 1974, now this is kind of a sad story. In 1974, there was a streaker that came out while David Niven was presenting an award. And he ran out and ran across the stage. And David Niven said something like, whoa, you can see that guy's shortcomings. You know,
yeah.
Something like that.
Very witty.
Well, the sad part of it is that streaker was a professional photographer named Robert Opel.
Oh, really?
And in 5 years later, Robert Opel was murdered by two guys who were robbing his San Francisco photography studio and they killed him. So that was really sad. It's something not many people
realize.
I did
not know that. Yeah. Wow.
Really sad. Wow. Okay, in 1973, a lot of people remember this with Marlon Brando from The Godfather. He won the Oscar and refused to accept it because of the treatment of
Native Americans
in film and Hollywood and stuff like that.
Didn't he have like a...
Yeah, so Sachin Littlefeather accepted the award for him. And I think she gave a little short speech and walked off. So now in 2003, Adrian Brody grabbed Halle Berry and put a smooch on her. She wasn't expecting that.
None of us were.
No way. It's like, oh, okay. I wonder if she wanted that to happen.
Yeah. I think like he dipped her or something, whatever, and gave her a kiss.
Yeah, he just really went into it. Okay, we all remember this one like 2 years ago in 2017 when they gave La La Land the best picture, and it was a mix-up in envelopes, and there was a big to-do.
Yeah.
And that was horrible. Ugh. Now, in 1969, something happened. It doesn't happen very often. There was a tie for Best Actress.
Oh.
And they gave it to two women.
Katharine Hepburn?
That's one. And the other one was a singer who made her own films. And
Barbara Streisand.
That's it.
For a Funny Girl.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
That doesn't happen that often.
No. One of the big moments in Oscar history was with Charlie Chaplin in 1972, where they actually gave him a 12-minute standing ovation.
They would not let him talk. I mean, it was just this big triumphant return after being abroad of all the bullshit and everything that he went through in Hollywood and everything. So to come back and to give him that ovation was kind of like Hollywood saying, hey, we screwed up, we're sorry, kind of a thing or whatever, welcome home.
Just a very, very warm tribute. It was really cool.
Oh, God, 12. Now, can you imagine 12 minutes, though?
I know. That's Jesus. That's a long time. Now, this was something I laughed my ass off with. It was in 1992 when Jack Palance won the Oscar for City Slickers.
Yes, the one-arm push-up.
He did one-arm push-up. I was like, that is so cool.
That was awesome.
And then Billy Crystal, I think it was like a year or so later, Billy Crystal was the host.
Yeah.
And Billy Crystal had Jack Palance come out and pull the Oscar, the big Oscar
on stage. Yeah.
Jack Palance. He was so cool.
Well, that year too, whatever, because Billy hosted that year as well. Mm-hmm. And so Billy said, Jack Palance is now doing this or now doing that every so often during the show. Mm-hmm. You go, he's now like holding up the Hollywood sign or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something ridiculous that he started to do. So, yeah, very funny.
And that movie.
And he did the push-ups again, too.
Yeah.
The following year, too.
Yeah. And then something that I have on my phone and I love it is a picture.
Buttons.
It's the the selfie that Ellen DeGeneres took in 2014.
Yeah, that was cool.
Oh, my God, that's so fun. But what's also funny is
that.
Yeah.
There's a picture from behind. You see all the people gathering for the selfie, and Liza Minnelli is trying to get in the picture, and she can't. She can't find a way to get up into the picture. It was kind of funny that.
That was in 2014?
Yeah.
God, that long ago? Wow.
Yeah. So
she did a good job hosting the Oscars.
Didn't she like order a pizza too or something? Or she got like a pizza? She tipped like the pizza guy.
I don't know if she did that or if it was Jimmy Kimmel.
Maybe it was Jimmy Kimmel. I thought it was Ellen.
Kimmel's done a great job, and I'm still surprised that there's no host.
I know. Well, that was the thing with Rob Lowe. There was no host that year.
Oh, that's why it sucked. So there you go.
And that was 30 years ago.
And it's going to suck again.
And that is Oscar's biggest moments.
Cool. Now, Jesus, you've got, what, Oscar's biggest bloopers or something? Or?
Actually, a list of seven. And it has gone down to a list of three because he actually mentioned.
Talked about some of those?
Yeah, four of them.
Okay, all right. That's fine.
So I'm just going to, touch base on the other three that are remaining. So one of them would be the stolen Oscars.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Yeah. On March 10th of 2000, just over 2 weeks before the seven second awards would take place, 55 Oscar statues were stolen from a loading dock in Bell, California.
Yeah, I remember that.
And a few days earlier than that, 1,000 voting ballots were also discovered at a postal distribution center in the same town, having never reached their intended Academy voters.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that was a big year, and the reason why I say that is because my mom works for the law firm that represents the Academy.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and it was just oh my God. Yeah, things were going nuts around the firm that year.
I guess the guy that discovered it, he discovered it in a bin outside of Koreatown.
Right.
His name was Willie Folger, or his name is probably still Willie Folger. I don't know if
he changed it since then.
He was awarded $50,000, and they also invited him to the ceremony.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they introduced him.
And then the thieves, Lawrence and Anthony, went to jail for 6 months, and then also had respective probation attached to that.
That's it? 6 months?
That's so weird. 1,000 votes.
And they got a bag.
Yeah. I bet that was fun to explain to the fellow inmates.
Yeah.
What are you in for?
I'm here for stealing the Oscars, bitch. Back up.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's probably some kind of god.
Good ass, Steve.
Yeah.
That's right.
So next. Oops.
Not doing the Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But back up.
Yeah.
You're so white. All right. What's the next one?
So the next one would be, while introducing Idina Menzel at the 2014 Academy Awards.
Oh, God.
Who?
Idina Menzel.
Oh.
This is why Travolta struggled.
Oh, yeah. Travolta mispronounced her name. As
completely mispronounced her name. I mean,
and also introduced her as the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
You guys want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear that. This is so bad.
There will always be a special place in my heart for the movie musical and for the songs that create their most memorable moments. Here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
And everybody goes, who?
Who? Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like he said the wickedly talented. He's going, please God, I know I'm probably going to screw this up. I hope that was a good enough adjective to describe her.
Yeah, or like he was using wickedly as a thing for people to like kind of get caught up on and not realize what he was going to do. But I guess he ended up blaming it on Goldie Hawn, how she distracted him backstage, and then also the difficulty.
Oh, you fucked up, John. Please go read your Dianetics.
Now, you have to admit, Goldie Hawn is distracting.
True.
Okay, but still.
True, but later, come on.
But later on that year, the two reunited on stage and addressed the blunder that had happened, at which point the skit turned into another misadventure of John's wandering hands.
Oh, that's right, where he like touched her face or whatever. It was really awkward, too.
Yes, he proceeded to touch and caress Menzel's face while cooing, my daring, my beautiful, my wickedly talented. Oh, yeah, so that was more awkwardness on top of awkwardness.
Has John won anything won an Academy Award for anything or no?
John.
Travolta.
You just now waking up over there?
You guys don't like John Travolta?
No, I just think John doesn't need to be on the Oscars anymore, basically. You know, because every time he comes, because there was another thing on the red carpet, too, where I think it was with, who's the actress from... was it Mockingbird or
Jennifer Lawrence?
Yeah, there was something I think with her that happened, and it was just remember. It was on the red carpet, and it was again just awkward.
Wait, Mockingbird? Yeah. Oh, Mockingjay? Oh, the Hunger Games? Wait,
yeah, the Hunger Games.
I was like Mockingbird.
She's awkward in general, so she brings a lot of her own awkwardness to a lot of the award shows.
But it was the way John approached her or whatever. It was the same way. It was just like, what just happened?
I feel like the ultimate like mess up on stage to me has been like the Steve Harvey one with the Miss Universe.
Well, that's about as big as the whole La La Land thing, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Because the La La Land thing happened after that. And everyone was like, wait, what's going on with these? You know, like they thought for a while, people thought they did it on purpose just to kind of get like some. But okay, so the last one would be.
Wait a minute. Travolta was nominated twice.
Was he?
78 for Saturday Night Fever and 95 for Pulp Fiction. But he did not win.
Okay.
He was nominated for Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's right, he was, yeah. I forgot about he was nominated for Saturday Night Fever. Yeah, forgot about that.
So the next thing, the last oops I have to share with you guys is regarding sign language barrier. So apparently, Debbie Boone's performance of Oscar-nominated You Light Up My Life in the 1977 ceremony caused significant uproar within the deaf community. Appears that the year before that, Louis Fletcher's sign, Teary Eye Thank You to her parents, following her Best Actress win. So the Oscars automatically thought, okay, like somebody signed on stage next year, we have to get somebody to be signing things for us on the side. They were kind of like, oh, like it sparked the idea, right? So they ended up recruiting 11 students from the John Tracy Clinic for the Deaf who would sign along with the Boone singing. The problem was the children weren't deaf, nor were they fluent in sign language.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were actually from the nearby Sam Levi Public School. So they ended up getting them from the wrong school and were each singing their own version of a complete nonsense. And the Alliance for Deaf Artists expressed their dissatisfaction, but an Oscar spokesperson waved any criticism away with the foolproof defense of nobody actually said the children were really deaf. That was their damage control.
Wow.
So they were trying to be inclusive and thought they were being like innovative by like having deaf people, you know, but they
sometimes the Oscars do really well. Sometimes it's just a train wreck.
It's just like all the people, whoever's working for them, you know?
Yeah.
damage control, quality control, everything.
Yeah, you know, and it makes me wonder what it's going to be like, you know, tomorrow night.
Oh, it'll be interesting. Yeah. It's 2019. What'll happen tomorrow night?
It'll be interesting. But there's no host. I guess the announcer will have a lot more to say.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody. I won't say who. But they were saying that Whoopi might step in at the last moment.
I love her so much. I do. I've always liked her.
But?
She is amazing. No, there's no but in this. She's just always been really cool. And it's sad that because she was so open and honest all the time that people gave her such grief and stuff.
Well, here's the thing. No matter what, you're going to get criticized about it, you know?
Right.
And, of course, the person who's hosted it the most, which was, I think, 16 times, was Bob Hope. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, and I think the best joke, you know, that he's given about it is he goes, well, yes, you know, it's the Oscars tonight. And of course, it's known as my house is Passover.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, look, they're going to get criticized no matter what. I think because we become such more social media oriented now, you're going to get those criticized because people can say things far away instead of saying it to your face.
Exactly.
You know, but I mean, there's been times like where David Letterman did not do that great of a job. It wasn't that funny.
Mm-hmm.
But I think some of the most recent hosts, Billy, Whoopi, awesome every single time. Billy's hosted it 9 times. Mm. I thought Ellen DeGeneres did a great job.
I loved her.
I thought Jimmy Kimmel the last couple of years did a beautiful job.
Great job, yeah.
You know,
he's
and
funny. He's just
yeah. Well,
funny
and not only
hell.
That though, but to bring in the whole bullshit, fake. Dispute between him and Matt Damon and bring that into it was hysterical. it was brilliantly done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's interesting, here's another known fact too that not too many people know, but the late great Carrie Fisher would write scripts for the Oscars too. She would go in and fix this and fix that or do this joke and do that joke or whatever.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and she's uncredited at times for coming in at the last moment and moving this around or whatever.
Fixing things up.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's what she was known for in Hollywood. You know, and I've seen some of the Oscar scripts, and sometimes her name's there, sometimes it's not or whatever. They'll just put Carrie on the side of it and Arrow, you know. You know, it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting tomorrow to see how it's going to go down.
I have to ask, what kind of food are you...
Well, you know what? I mean, every year, because I think, what was it, Genesis or Zach was asking me how many people are coming or whatever. You know what? I always invite about 30 people, and whoever wants to come, come. Sometimes all 30 come, and we have a house full. Sometimes 5 come, you know, so it depends. So, I don't know. We'll see how many actually come tomorrow. Who knows? We might just get burgers tomorrow or pizza or something or...
Or both.
Or both, yeah.
There's no special thing planned.
Not really. We're going to wing it tomorrow night. Tomorrow
yeah, I'll make sure then that I eat before.
Oh, yeah, you can do that too, you know. Yeah, come at 5 o'clock when it starts.
Of course, with my luck, then you'll have, like, steak and lobster.
Prime rib.
So.
Baby back ribs or something.
Oh, it's a crapshoot no matter what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for all of the sleaze you ever wondered about the red carpet of the Oscars.
Well, good morning, everybody, and hello out there in La La Land. Yes, it's that time of year again for the Oscars. Well, of course, it seems that the first time that the Oscars will go hostless. That's right, hostless. That's right, hostless.
Hostless.
Hostless, yes. Kevin Hart was supposed to host with all the backlash on his gay comments and the jokes he decided to decline to host. Good thing there was no movies dominated about a gay singer and naming his band Queen, eh?
Hey.
Speaking of Queen, actor Rami Malek, who played Freddie Mercury in the biopic Bohemian Rhapsody, did such a great job that he was able to keep his false teeth that he used in the movie to recreate Mercury's overbite. Good thing, too, because now he's been announced that he will play Mr. Ed in the new biopic, A Horse is a Horse, of Course, of Course. Spike Lee is nominated for the first time for his movie, Black Klansman. Congratulations, Spike. Too bad the Academy couldn't hire a black comedian to host the Oscars this year, huh?
Ah.
Well, the big question for Oscar night is, will Lady Gaga win an award for A Star Is Born? Both Judy Garland and Barbara Streisand have won an award for this film. Will Gaga make it a three-peat for the redone film? Well, we all know how Hollywood loves a threesome.
Oh, yeah, I do too, by the way.
Speaking of threesomes, this is the third time that Amy Adams and Christian Bale have starred in a film together and both received Oscar nominations for it.
I'd like to threesome with the two of them, that's for sure.
Well, we don't have a joke here. We just wanted to share that Oscar fact. So, now, come on, moving on.
There's no joke there. Those guys are beautiful.
Speaking of Christian Bale, when he received the Golden Globe last month for he thanked Satan. Well, let me try that one more time now.
Would you please?
I will. But speaking of Christian Bale, when he received the Golden Globe last month, Bale thanked Satan for giving him the inspiration on how to play the role of Dick Cheney. Well, it seems that Scientology has lost another good one. Now, it seems that all four of the acting prizes this year could be for portrayals of a lesbian, gay, or bisexual characters. That's right. Well, it's a good thing the Academy didn't pick a host who was homophobic. And last but not least, Glenn Close currently holds the dubious title of an actress with the most Oscar nominations to her name without a win. With that, Meryl Streep said, "Hey, how do you think I feel, bitch? I've had 26 nominations. I was nominated 12 times before I got my next Oscar, so shut the hell up." And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the latest from Tinseltown. And hopefully we'll see what happens tomorrow when the Oscar Awards goes down in flames. Till next year, this is me saying ta-ta.
And bye for now. I got to tell you, every time I hear about Glenn Close at the Oscars, I think of the movie In and Out with Kevin Klein and Tom Selleck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, Kevin Klein's a school teacher and he's getting married to Joan Cusack and everything. Well, they open, one of his students is up for an Oscar.
Uh-huh.
And, so they show what would be, it's a fake Oscars, but they show Glenn Close is presenting the Best Actor Award. And it's hysterical because she's like,
I'm laughing on the inside right now.
The nominees are Michael Douglas for Coot. Good, Bad, and the Ugly. Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood for Codger. And then there's two more. I can't remember what it was. But the last one is, and Steven Seagal for Snowball in Hell.
God.
That's hysterical. Sorry. I like Glenn
Snowball,
Close.
Hell, and Chance, yes.
Yeah.
It's melting.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's talk about what's news.
What's new, pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
What do you got, Genesis?
Looks like two older men in Germany decided to escape the drug raid of their nursing home and do something decidedly badass. Attend a heavy metal concert. The men, who reportedly took public transportation to Wacom Open Air Music Festival, couldn't resist the urge to headbang to the likes of The Sing, Judas Priest, Cannibal Corpse, and Dead by Sorrow.
That's a good show.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's quite the festival. The men left their nursing home in the rural district of something I can't pronounce. And
something
traveled
in German.
Yeah, something very German.
Dr. Lieber.
And traveled 25 miles to the festival outside of Hamburg. They were found by authorities at 3 a.m., reportedly disoriented and dazed after a long trek into the world of loud, angry music. And it looks like they were taken to the medical tent on the festival site and were sent back by a taxi at around 6:30 a.m.
That's funny.
A spokesperson of the police department told the paper.
That's awesome, though, man.
Yeah, we had to explain to them why they had to go home, but in the end, they went back voluntarily. Can't imagine being out till 6:30 in the morning. Like,
done it.
Well, Steve was that way. The only thing is, he kept falling down, though.
I know.
Can you imagine Steve at a heavy metal concert?
Yeah, head banging or whatever, you know?
Oh, yeah.
He'd be strolling in here with every stint in his arm and legs and neck
this
brace.
This is fun, though. Like, I feel like they should have just let them go, you know? Or
I would have.
With supervision.
But I love the fact that you read, though, they had to explain why they had to go home. The concert's over, old man. Exactly.
I can still hear it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I might be tone deaf.
Oh, my gosh. What do you got, Steve?
Okay, now, this comes with a warning. All right, kids, please don't try this at home.
Oh, no.
Or at your local IKEA.
Oh, no.
Apparently.
Wait. Let me ask you something. Is this something that we would do?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Oh, this ought to be good. Let's just keep building it up.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Apparently, last Saturday, the police and fire department 911 started receiving dozens of calls from people reporting that they were locked in IKEA. This is in Atlanta.
Okay.
And they were getting 911 calls that a bunch of people, not just like one call, but a bunch of calls.
12, 15, 20.
Yeah, they were all locked in IKEA. And it was, of course, everybody thought it was pretty strange. It says dozens, so I don't know how many that is.
Well, two, three dozen, four dozen.
Yeah. Well, the police and firemen arrived at the scene, and they entered by the exit door.
Okay.
When they got in, they observed that there were no clients anywhere, and all the cashiers were sitting around playing Candy Crush and because there was nothing to do.
Uh-huh.
Well, then they had to initiate a rescue protocol and quickly arrived at the carpet section where they checked. All the customers were walking in circles and chasing fake arrows somebody had put on the ground.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
I often have this urge when I'm in line at Disneyland somewhere to nonchalantly take the chains and put people into a loop.
Oh, God. That's so good.
That's funny. But
oh, my God.
You know,
he put arrows on the floor? Wow.
Yeah. Well, people were made to use the display toilets. I guess they were there for a while.
Oh, my God.
A woman almost gave birth on a carpet.
Oh, shit.
A man was sleeping on a couch and some were using technology devices. People were tied with ropes and were rescued. But
how moronic do you have to be to realize?
Okay, wait a minute. We're going in circles and there is an exit.
Yeah.
Let's forget the arrows. Where's the exit?
Exactly.
So, well, you know.
Because every time I go to an IKEA or whatever, I always try to find the shortcut ones.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't have to walk all the way through.
Yeah.
You go, shortcut to here, shortcut to there. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, every time I think, how can people be that stupid, I just look and see who's president.
Well, we can also look at Atlanta now for people there going, wow, you hillbilly.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Gee, man.
So
did the guy get arrested?
This part doesn't.
Did the guy get arrested?
He surrendered.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, I don't understand this part. Let me read what it says. People were tied with ropes and were rescued. But they were so dazed, they couldn't even remember their names. Now, I don't know what that means. They were walking in circles. I don't know. Make somebody dizzy or...
Well, again, hillbillies, we're talking about Atlanta.
It's Atlanta.
It's a beautiful city, though. I've been there. It's a beautiful city, but you never know.
So it doesn't say about the arrest. It just said that the guy who did it voluntarily surrendered.
Okay, so I got to ask you guys. In your life, have you guys ever shoplifted something?
Yes.
Yes.
Genesis?
Excuse me?
Have you ever shoplifted something?
Yeah, once.
Once? Would you shoplift?
No.
You're
Snow?
No.
What did you shoplift?
Oh, I was like, would you shoplift? I was like, no. It was like a little Precious Moments, like, it was about an inch, like, box, a little Precious Moments box at Big Lots.
Okay. I did a comb when I was a kid not a flea, like a flea market thing or whatever, or swap meet, I did. What about you, Zach?
I did it on a couple occasions. I used to... You know, like those cereals that used to have like the little toys in the box.
You shoplifted one of those?
Yeah, when I was like, I think like 6 or 7.
Oh my God! Okay, Steve.
My friend and I would go to the supermarket and steal candy.
Candy, okay, and that's a typical thing.
Fit for a loss, yeah.
You know, candy, comb, or something small, whatever. Well, check this out, guys. Police hunt for a butt plug bandit.
They're expensive.
They are. They really are.
That's a luxury item.
Police are searching for two women who have been accused of stealing several expensive sex toys from the Peaches and Cream store in New Zealand. New Zealand. So it included two $300 anal climaxers, a $250 Hustler brand rabbit vibrator, and those are expensive.
Anal climaxer?
That's what it says.
Wow.
$250 rabbit vibrator and a $95 leopard print dress. They also attempted to steal a wand vibrator worth $220. Okay, you know what? $20. That's all you need to spend. $20-$30 on those wand ones or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they're good enough. They're good enough. All right. As they went to the exit, she noticed their bags had grown inside since entering the shop and gave them the opportunity to return the item. So this is the employee speaking. One looked pretty scared and opened her bag, returned one item, and then apologized. However, the other refused to open her bag and left, the staff said. I gave her multiple chances to return the item, but she said no. She posted has drawn
much attention.
She was already
attached to it.
Yeah, apparently. The post has drawn much attention from the community, who have identified the women as targeting other stores in the region. Police have been around her house multiple times, but she's never home. It's not the first time the stores have been targeted. Peaches and Cream have a wall of shame showing all the sex toy bandits caught on security cameras, and at least one saw his photo there and contacted the shop to pay for it. But I mean, but
interesting.
Would you go into a sex? You know, I understand they're expensive. You're going, you know, $300 for a vibrator or whatever. You know,
makes you wonder. Are they
maybe they're just reselling them?
Them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the only logical sort of thing I can think of.
God, good God!
I mean, how many of those things can you use at once?
Exactly. Well,
I'd rather not think about it.
Well, let's see.
It depends, really.
One, two, three.
Maybe four.
Carry the five.
Yeah, drop the seven. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So. And there you go. That's what's new.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, well, let's see if we can get it right this time while Steve takes a drink and a swig, because it's time for the game.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for that game show that's sweeping the nation, Quiz Me, Quiz You!
Perfect. Question number one.
Oh, last week it was a bomb.
What famous female singer died of alcohol poisoning?
Zach.
John.
Zach.
Janis Joplin?
No.
Oh.
I was going to go with that. Yeah, that was a good one. I was going to say all of them. Let's see.
Alcohol poisoning.
Oh. God. Jeez. I can see her face. God. Amy Winehouse.
Yes.
Good pull.
Ah, boy. I just came out of, you know.
You sure did?
Yeah. That was,
obviously,
the
you
full,
did.
The full question was, What famous female singer died of alcohol poisoning in 2011 at the age of 27?
Yeah, Amy Winehouse.
Perfect.
Obviously, you were not one who was stealing the butt plug.
No.
Question number two.
Oh!
What is a meteor call when it reaches Earth's surface?
Sean. An asteroid?
No.
Damn. A meteor that reaches Earth's surface?
As in when it crashes already and it's on the planet Earth.
What is a meteor call when it reaches Earth's surface?
Right. You guys got to go. Sean, when it comes around.
Oh, my God. I can't think. I'm in.
Okay, Steve doesn't have it. Zach?
Okay, so a meteor. Okay, I was going to say a comet, an asteroid. I don't know.
No, comet has its own orbit. Mm-hmm. It's a meteorite.
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Sean, woo!
Yeah! Two for two.
And
I'm going card,
no,
bitches.
You're not.
Yeah,
not
you
happening.
Are.
Question number three.
I'm going to get this next one. Here we go.
How many soccer players?
Steve.
Shit.
Steve.
11.
No.
Ha-ha!
Anybody else?
No. I want to hear the question.
Okay.
So it's Zach and I and then Steve. So Steve can't answer.
How many soccer players should be on the field at the same time?
Zach. Sean. Seven?
What? No.
I don't know. I know nothing about soccer.
No, there's two teams out there.
Right. So therefore, if 14?
No.
Damn!
Steve.
Steve.
22.
Yes.
Oh.
He has
Didn't
said
you
a, he
hear
has,
me?
He has said,
he
a,
said 11.
He
yeah.
has
yeah.
said 11. At, he probably assumed it was like how many are in the
on
field.
A team.
From the team, mm-hmm. yeah.
Perfect. Steve, and then question number
four. There goes the card.
Four. What is the name of the popular Australian food spread used on sandwiches?
Steve.
Oh,
Steve?
Oh.
Vegemite.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I actually
eat that shit.
No, I've never tasted it.
I heard it's really gross.
It is.
Yeah.
It is really
It's like
really
poi. Gross.
But they love it, right?
Yeah, my mom's boyfriend swears by it because he's Australian and all that.
But
and he
like,
says, no, we love it.
Hey, if I eat it, I would swear too.
Yeah, true. Well.
But like, how do you get yourself as Americans to like work up to liking it? Like just...
You don't.
You remember when Steve drank last week for Valentine's Day and fell down several times? Right there.
Yeah. That's when you would you go, gotta, wow, this yeah. is great shit.
Yeah, you got to be right there at that point to,
oh, you
to
got,
really do it.
You
yeah.
fell on Valentine's Day?
Yes.
12 times.
Oh, it was on Valentine's Day. Yep. I thought yes. it was, oh, I need to tell you guys my Valentine's Day story after this.
Okay, all right.
But off the air.
Right. Oh.
oh, come on.
No, no.
Oh.
I'm just
the listeners are gonna go, hey,
wait a minute.
So I went out with my friends.
Wait, what number are we on just so we remember?
I have a note.
Oh, okay. I'm just asking. Why is everyone looking at me like I'm a bad guy?
Let the assistant producer.
Let the who?
Assistant producer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Please continue.
I'm just gonna continue with the questions really quick.
Okay, all right.
Question number five. What star of the movie Basketball Diaries did not win his first Oscar until 2016?
Wait, repeat that again, please.
What star of the movie Basketball Diaries?
Basketball Diaries?
Zach.
Zach.
I'm only saying this because I'm thinking 2016. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in that, and he won for The Revenant for Best Actor in 2016.
I feel like I've never even heard of Basketball
Anybody
Diaries.
See The Revenant?
Yeah, I do.
That was a great
My
movie.
My God, what a great movie.
Seriously.
Yes.
Based on a true story, too.
Yes, it is. I read about the true story. It's really interesting.
Oh.
Alrighty then.
Question number six.
That was your cue. Assistant.
What was the name of the teacher who died in the tragic space shuttle challenge?
Steve.
Oh,
Steve.
Sean.
Sally Ride.
No.
No.
Oh, what name?
Sean.
Christy McAuliffe.
Christy
yes.
McAuliffe. There it is. I know there was two women, one...
Sally Ride was the first female astronaut.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad got to meet her.
Really?
Yeah. Because my dad worked for Rockwell, and he was part of the shuttle program.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool.
I feel like we've had this question before, but we'll just go with it.
Okay.
Question number seven. What city is the capital of the country Turkey?
Steve.
Steve.
Istanbul.
No.
That's actually what I was going to say.
Budapest?
No.
Damn.
Buddha worst.
Zach.
Oh, I.
Zach.
Sean.
Turk. Let's see. It's turkey.
No.
Oh, gravy.
Damn, that wasn't my joke. I was going to say gobble. But, yeah.
No, it's.
What is it?
Ankara?
Eh?
Who?
Oh, that's in Alaska.
Hey, that's Anchorage.
Anchorage.
Oh, okay.
That's Anchorage.
Oh. Ankara?
Question number
Okra?
Eight.
I love her show.
What digital currency?
Zach.
Zach.
Bitcoin.
Yes.
Oh.
Good job, Zach.
Okay.
I was having a conversation with somebody about Bitcoins yesterday, so yeah.
Question number nine.
Short conversation.
No, this is actually question number nine, okay, guys?
Nine, okay.
Okay. Right. What does HTTP stand for in a website address?
It used to drive me crazy when you'd have to type that for everything.
Oh, my God.
Say it again.
What does HTTP stand for?
HTTP.
In a website address. It's before www.// /.
Let's try to get the first letter. H.
Horny.
Hyman.
Okay. It's close
horny.
To horny. It's close to horny.
Oh, it is?
Homie.
Honey?
Hiney.
No, that's with a J.
Hyper.
HTTP.
Oh, okay.
Is it hyper?
Hymen, the perfect part.
Okay, the next. Okay, and the T. Okay, hyper.
It's two T's, not two P's.
Oh, T. Oh.
We still got three letters to go.
H. I got to go TTP.
Tinsel.
No.
Toes.
No.
I know the last word. I know the last word is protocol.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hyper blank blank protocol.
Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah, there we go.
All right.
Hypertext transfer protocol.
Oh, why didn't we think of text?
And sometimes they put an S after that. What does that mean?
Shit.
Small.
No. Secure.
Secure the bag.
Yeah.
That's a safe zone or safe website.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your friend Jay should have called in. Jay would have known.
So. Question number 10.
Yay!
Then Genesis Valentine story.
Who was the second president of the United States?
Zach.
Steve.
Zach.
John Adams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. You know,
she was like very surprised. Hey,
no, I couldn't get my name out.
Because somebody last night, my brother actually was quizzing me on the first seven presidents of the United States, and I didn't know anybody past George Washington.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was kind of ironic that it came up.
Right. I really remember that because there was a HBO special or like a miniseries called John Adams where Paul Giamatti played John. And I watched the whole thing. It was really good.
Oh, anything Paul Giamatti does is.
Yeah, and it's actually, they're playing it on HBO again right now. I'm just recording the whole thing. I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah, right. My brothers can like name every single president there ever was. And I'm like, I don't know anything.
Get us some love music. Find us some love music.
Oh, no. I'll tell you guys the story later.
No, no, come on.
I'll tell you guys the story.
Come on.
No, it's not even a good story. I didn't do anything with anybody.
Oh. Lie to us.
Okay. Make up
true.
While I'm trying to find
music. So I went
on
a really successful first date, and see, I can't even make up a lie.
So far, so good, though.
I haven't even gone on a date since October.
We need to get you laid, then.
Oh, my God. Since October.
We need to get you going.
Oh, my.
I'm too busy.
Get you on the meat market.
Yeah. Or the fish one. We'll see.
That's kind of sexy.
Hey, either one. I got friends on both.
Just kidding.
That's not sexy enough.
That's sexy?
It's that sexy jazz
come
music.
Come on. Leave your hat on. You can keep your hat on something, you know? Hey, you know what? Those people. Oh, we can do this. This is sexy.
Yeah, I can do this.
It's okay. Genesis, start stripping.
Oh, my.
I'm like literally the most bundled up I've ever been.
I know. I apologize. It's really
cold.
No,
you're fine. I'm just glad I had a blanket.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's the show, guys.
That was fun.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know we did.
I had a good time.
Yeah.
I had a blast. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page. Find us on Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram. Go to @yourweeklydose1.
If you want to follow me for my one tweet a week, it's @silvalining69.
And by the way, I love your tweet, which is, hey, we're on. Nothing else.
Keep
but
it simple.
Hey, we're going to be on.
Yeah.
All right. That's the one tweet a week.
Well, I said come laugh with us.
Oh, you changed it up.
I thought I did.
Wow, nice. Okay, cool.
Anybody else? Zach?
Zach, where's your social?
Oh, @ztagan on Twitter and Instagram. I was looking at my phone. I'm sorry. That's very unprofessional of me.
And @Luna the Virgo on Instagram.
And if you want to follow me, Sean, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I made it simple for everybody because I'm that kind of guy. It's simply Sean Roberts HC. So there you go. Again, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day out today. No rain in Southern California. It's going to be nice. So go out, but keep warm because it's cold out there for sure.
It is.
And, you know, we're going to be tweeting tomorrow during the Academy Awards, too, and everything. So, you know, tweet along with us and everything and see if we pick the same winners and everything like that. And who knows? So we'll check it out. So in the meantime, we'll catch you guys next week and have a good one.
Goodbye, world.
You know the kind that has a phone and a bar. You soon forget the person you really are. You're gonna be a star, a big star.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1 and Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. We'll see you next week.